pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. The word of God to which we direct our attention this morning is our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy chapter 18. You may be seated. And in that Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy 18, as well as in our New Testament reading from the Gospel of Mark, we hear in both of those places about authority. The issue of authority is raised there. Last week, we heard of the great prophet Jonah, who delivered God's wonderful and gracious message of repentance and salvation to the people of Nineveh, and those people repented, turned from their wicked ways, and turned towards the Lord. God sent many other prophets, of course, with this message of repentance and of salvation. And we know exactly where their authority comes from. It comes from God himself. And then Christ himself brought that message of salvation, which we continue to hear even today in his word. Of course, we know all of these things. So why is it so difficult for us to hear that message, to digest that message, to put it into action in our lives? That message is spoken with authority. And it's spoken by the only one who actually has the authority to speak that message. But it becomes very hard for us to hear. And that's because there are so many convincing voices in our world today. Who are we supposed to listen to? Everywhere we turn, especially now, as we know in this year, we hear a politician, right? Or at other times we hear teachers, bosses, our team leaders, your pastor, your parents, or someone else always putting some sort of message in your ears and therefore in your mind as well. And half of the things that we hear, we can outright say we don't believe them. And much more of what we hear, we really should be skeptical of. Because there's a lot of odd messages out there. The problem is that for the most part, people are either telling us what they think that we want to hear, or they're telling us what they want us to hear. It's like that old game of telephone, right? You know how that goes. One person speaks a message, the next person receives that message, and then passes it on to another. And nobody actually goes back to confirm whether what they heard was actually what was said. And by the time it gets back around to the original speaker, that message is so mutated and transformed that it's something entirely different than what it started out as. And that's really assuming the best case scenario, right? Where everyone is actually trying to pass along the correct message. I'm sure you played this game with children who want to just make it as different as it possibly can be from the original message. If someone decides that they're going to intentionally change that message, there's no telling what might come out on the other end. I think that's sometimes how we get some of the messages that are delivered to us today. In today's text from Deuteronomy, Moses, who God has used as the leader of the Israelites for those past 40 years, is preparing to leave his people. He knows that he's not going to be able to enter into the promised land. That was what God had told him much earlier. And so the question now is, who are these people going to listen to? Once they pass over the Jordan River, who will be their leader? What will be the message that they hear? Will it continue to be the message that was faithfully passed to Moses and which he passed on to the generations? Or will it be something different? Who's going to pass that message on to us? To whom should we listen? Thanks be to God that that question is very simply answered through our text today, where we hear that our God has raised up a prophet like Moses to whom we should listen. And not only that, but a prophet who both proclaims salvation and is the one who works that salvation for us. He is the one who has authority, as we heard in the Gospel of Mark. He is the one whose voice must be heard. Jesus is that prophet like Moses, the one who God raised up by humbling him to enter into this world as a helpless babe. Throughout the season of Advent, of course, we talked about the now and the not yet, what's happening presently and what will happen in the future. Today, we hear about the then, what happened in the past, the reality of the message that was proclaimed to God's people and continues to be proclaimed today in the present, which led to what we celebrate in this joyous season of Epiphany, and which will eventually culminate in the future at some uncertain time in the great and glorious day which the Lord has promised to us. And just as those Israelites had to listen to Moses, we too must listen to the prophet that God promised to raise up. That's not always an easy task. As I mentioned before, we have to sift and sort through all of the various messages that are out there, and we live in a world that's very similar to the one that Moses and the Israelites lived in. They were entering into a land where they would be confronted by false prophets all around them. A faithful word from God would be difficult for them to hear in the midst of all of the fortune-telling and the divination and the consultation of the dead that was commonplace when seeking a word from the gods of the people who lived in that place that God had promised them to inhabit. All of those things God calls an abomination. And in our day, we still deal with these sorts of things. In our day today, there are still fortune-tellers, but they're often packaged in much more socially acceptable ways, masquerading as harmless activities. But even more so, as there will be in any age, there are false prophets. And the message of these false prophets, even the ones in our midst today, is very finely honed. Maybe it's the pastor a few towns over, or the one that you see on TV on Sunday mornings, who tells you that all you need to do is give your heart to Jesus, or just pray hard enough and God is going to bless you, or that if you just believe enough, you will eventually prosper. No doubt, many of these messengers are sincere. They do actually desire to faithfully pass on the message that they think God wants us to hear. But sincere or not, the words that are being spoken, these messages that are being proclaimed, are not the word of the Lord. And they're false and dangerous. And Moses warned about all of these false prophets that would come. And Moses is not the only one who warned us about them. Paul talks repeatedly about the false prophets, the messengers that will seek to lead you astray. Moses knew that what they would be encountering, what his people would encounter, would be difficult. And God knows that we are going to encounter it all as well. Which is why it was so important for God to point us to the one who would faithfully proclaim the word. The one who is himself the word. He's the one that we must listen to. He is God, and therefore every word that flows from his mouth is the word of the Lord. And he's the one with the authority that causes people to be amazed and astounded, as we heard in our gospel reading, as he casts out demons and speaks like no one that they've ever heard before. This is the prophet. This is the Savior that draws people to himself. This is the prophet and the Savior that has the authority and used it to draw you, Russell and Michelle, to himself. The authority to cause you to stand up in front of this congregation in just a few moments and profess your faith. A faith that changed and continues to change your family. What a joy it's been to work with you over these last few months in preparation for this day where you are going to stand before God and this congregation and announce your intention to continue steadfast in your faith forever, even unto death. Faith in Jesus, who has the authority given by the Father to draw many to faith. At his transfiguration, a voice from the cloud came down over Jesus and said, "This is my Son, the chosen one. Listen to him." In that moment, the Father emphasized the message that he had first given to the Israelites through Moses, and now is being fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. He has provided the prophet like Moses, the one to whom we must listen. And we must listen because he is the one who has the words of eternal life. Lord, to whom shall we go? Jesus was sent by the Father so that we might have the means to hear his word. The Israelites understood this. Sinful people could not speak to God or encounter him face to face and live. And it's the same for us as well. At least it would be. Except that God saw fit to send his final prophet. And not just a prophet, but also a Savior. One who is both truly God and truly man, that he might also be our brother. Jesus veiled his divine glory and majesty in humble flesh, that he might come near to us, that he might speak to us in a way that we would be able to hear him. And we can only hear his gentle and loving voice because we also know of his cries of agony as he suffered and died on our behalf. That very action, that true sacrifice, is what broke down all of the barriers, what tore the curtain in two, and what reconciled God to us that we might stand before him face to face. It's the only way we have that opportunity. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The then, the past, is very clear to us. God used his prophets to deliver his message to the Israelite people. Messages which we continue to hear and learn from today. The now, the present, is also abundantly clear to us. We celebrate it at this time every year as we rejoice in the Savior who was born to us. The light of the world that has come in that we celebrate during the season of Epiphany. The prophet whose message was proclaimed from his own mouth and through his every action, and which continues to be proclaimed even today as his word is spoken to us. The not yet, though, the future, that which is still yet to come, is the one that's always a little bit trickier. Not because we're unaware of what God has promised through his final prophet, because we know that he has promised to come again in all of his glory, but rather because we're unaware of when that not yet will actually come. And until it does, may we always be waiting in eager anticipation of the blessed reunion with our Savior. In the meantime, may we also be faithful proclaimers of the word that he's entrusted to us. The word who became flesh and dwelt among us. Because that is the word that speaks to us. Speaks to us through scripture and through his sacraments. He speaks, and his message to us is clear. When God speaks, the world changes. The ears of the demons perk up, and they're forced to obey. With all of those voices that are competing for our attention, there is one whose voice will never steer you wrong, one that will never lead you astray, one that has earned the right to be heard, and one who calls you brothers and sisters. Listen to this one. Listen to your prophet and savior. Listen to Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.